Good morning. And welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And today's Friday, December 20th, 2024. We're reading from the big book and how it works on page 66, the second paragraph. And that states, if we were to live, and then we're going to end with, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. And we're just going to share on that paragraph. So today's readers, we have Matthew G. for the steps, Jen P. for the traditions. Nancy R. is going to start us off with the text. Page 164 is Nick F. Our backup reader is Alana C. Newcomer greeter Tony B. Second hour host is Matt A. F. And for our announcements, we have Kathy S. So the reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, December 19th, 2024. The 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22010. And the 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time meeting, is 22011. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Matthew G. to read the 12 steps for us today.
Good morning, this is Matthew G., and recovered compulsive overeater in Paris, France. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Matthew. Next up is Jen P. with the traditions.
And, hey, good morning, Russ. This is Jen P. calling from New Jersey with the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Tradition 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Tradition 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Tradition 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose, Tradition 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Matthew, for taking care of the steps and traditions. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Marble mouth today, excuse me. So we're back in how it works, and we're on page 66. We're reading that second paragraph, and we're sharing just on that second paragraph. It starts with, if we were to live, and it ends with, for alcoholics, these things are poison. And I've asked Nancy R. to start us off today.
Good morning, all. It's Nancy R. in Northwest Illinois. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. You know, I used to think that was a bit much. I can't be grouchy. I can't be angry, but I found that in doing this fourth step, that a lot of the anger that I have is really, or resentment, is really, you know, about something that I have really started and got into the wheels of motion, something that I'm not accepting in life. And as long as I'm not accepting what is actually true in life, I am going to be resentful. And when I do four steps and 10 steps and look at that resentment or anger or restlessness, irritability, discontent, it really shows me a lot how I want to be, and I want the world to be the way I want the world to be. And if it's not, I feel angry about it. So, you know, it can be as ridiculous as what the temperature of the heat is in the house. You know, and I'm like, oh, I have to be free of that anger, or it's poison for me. And yeah, it's true. I have found that is true. Those are the things that create the buildup of human emotion that bring me back to the crazy thinking that tells me that I should pick up, and that if I just ate X, Y, Z, life would be better. And it's not true. So when I keep giving that control back to God, like the thermostat, I need to walk by it and just leave it alone. because there's another person who lives here with me, and they get to have their home the way they like it also. And what the thermostat, how warm or cool it is in the house, is not really affecting me. Like, I'm not freezing and I'm not so hot that it has to be changed. It's my control. And so that poisons me because I get angry about it. I'm like, I'm so stupid. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And that's the grouch. And I'm thankful that I have 4 steps and 10 steps to continue to keep me free and connected to the solution, which is my higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
All right, Nance, thank you very much. So now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon, and we ask that, you know, we value your experience. We ask that limit your share to every third day. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to share. And just, I need first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. All right, thank you.
Golda H. Golda H.
Lisa B. from Colorado.
Nancy P.
Janice P.M. Nancy. Janice, there's someone else there.
Darian.
Did you get Nancy P?
Arla G.
Darian.
Did you get Nancy P?
I got you, Nancy.
Okay. Leia S.
Leia.
Did you get me, Russ?
Yeah, I got you, Har.
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Bonnie. Take a few more.
Marge.
All right, we got Marge. One more would be great. Be a killer lineup.
Nick.
All right, Nick. Perfect. So we got Golda H, Lisa B, Nancy P, Janice PM, Darian K, Harlan, Leia S, Bonnie B, Marjo, and Nick F. All right, Golda, you're up.
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you so much for the meeting. Thank you for the reading. Thank you for being here. My name's Golda H. I am a chronic compulsive eater, and I'm recovered. And I definitely have been humbled lately, really getting how many 10 steps I need to do every day. I can go to negativity and resentments, I don't know, taking a breath, you know. I've been doing the 10 steps for a couple of years now throughout my day, but it's only really, I'm just getting it in a whole new level lately that I cannot, probably because the disease progresses, right? It's always progressing. Whatever it is, I really can't afford. I cannot afford the grouch or the resentment for a minute. I mean, I thank God, have a very quick way of doing 10, 11, 12, send it to my sponsor, call a newcomer, and it works. And if it doesn't work, I do it again. Or just go help some more people. But as soon as I go into that negative thinking, and for me, I didn't even realize how disturbed I was. That's the truth. I mean, that story of Jim, and he, you know, I love that story. You know, he had a few words with the boss, and he used to own the company. Okay, no big deal. That's what I do. I just, no big deal. So what? You know, so I have this thought. So I'm annoyed. Who cares? And those are the things that, as we shared before, that build up and will bring me right back to food. And if I don't, I won't start by the first bite, but I'll start with the first thought. And then I'll feed that thought, and I'll hold on to that thought, you know, and whatever. So we all know where that goes. So I see that I'm much more high risk. In a certain sense, as the longer I'm recovered, the more at risk I am for slips because the disease is progressing. So I need to step up the tools. And when I do this continual 10, 11, 12 for real, really do grab those disturbances I'm in touch with my higher power. He guides me. I feel it. I know it. I'm more helpful. I'm more serene. It's just so worth it. So I'm just really grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Golda. Next up is Lisa B., followed by Nancy P.
Hey, everyone. Good morning. It's Lisa B. in Colorado. Yes. Resentment is, they say resentment is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. I have done a four-step in numerous programs. When I get to someone where I don't see my part in it after I've turned 18, I like have the self-righteous pride and arrogance, like I've been wronged and I didn't have a part in it. When we break it down, when I break that down with a sponsor and finally see the light, it's like I have a spiritual experience. I'm like, God is extracting resentment out of my soul. That is where I need to be in order to recover from this disease, from all addictions. It's just, it's hazardous to my health to hold on and onto resentments for dear life. As an addict, I want to control everything, and I want everything my way. And I want to, I don't know why it is, I want to sometimes when I've went through these things, I want to hold on to that resentment. I want to be angry. I want to be self-righteous and self-centered and just not take responsibility or accountability for my piece in it and clean up my side of the street. But I've always had a willingness to see, even if I'm blinded at first by my own stuff. I have broken through to the other side and been able to take responsibility for my actions. And that's a beautiful gift of God's in this program. So with that, I'm in. Thanks.
All right, Lisa, thank you. Next up is Nancy P., followed by Janice P.M.
Hi. Good morning, Russ. Thank you for letting me share. Good morning, Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So here's the thing. I want to live. And I can tell you from lived experience, from personal actual experience that I lived with this body sitting in this chair, that being angry and resentful and afraid and enraged and in pain, that's not living for me. That's existing. And, you know, today my life is completely different from that. And mainly, you know, the best thing that happened to me in this program is every night I do a written 11-step inventory. And one of the things that it says is, do we owe an apology? Rarely, I can say rarely. So every night I write, no, and it's the best thing ever, like the best thing ever, that I don't live in a place where I just, you know, like static electricity, I seem to attract nasty, you know, reactions to people and I spew them out like poisonous gas, you know, I that doesn't happen to me anymore. And the reason that it doesn't happen to me is because, you know, these past few paragraphs, these past days, is we've been talking about how our feelings come up and what are we going to do with them. And, you know, these paragraphs ask one question to me. How's it going for you doing it your way, Nancy P.? And the answer is not well. I say that to my sponsees. How's it going for you doing it your well? And then I say, don't answer that. Not well if you're talking to me. And doing it my way was not working. I had abundant evidence, you know. I'm data-driven. I had abundant, like, reams of it. It wasn't going well doing it my way. But what was I going to do? And here's the thing. Like, I didn't actually do anything. All I did was what I was told. And I did it as hard as I could, and I did it immediately. Whatever I was told to do, I did it as hard as I could right away. And, you know, the equivalent, you know, the catchphrase for that is I shut up and I kept swimming. I didn't check and see how am I doing, how am I feeling. because I don't want to be, I don't want my feelings. They don't own me today. They don't dictate what I say and do. Yes, I still get angry sometimes. Yes, I still get afraid. Yes, I still get sad. I'm human. We can't do any better than that. But they don't, other people are not affected by that, or they don't even have to know today. Everybody used to have to know how Nancy P was feeling. And today, you know, I can live and thrive if nobody knows. And I don't want to be subject to my feelings. The subject is, you know, someone who's subservient to royalty, who would kneel before royalty. And today, I don't kneel before anybody. I don't kneel at all, as a matter of fact, to anything or anybody. And, you know, and today, you know, what I get back in return is just these promises, every promise in the book, from the beginning of the doctor's opinion to the end of working with others, all of them have come true for me in spades, in the highest suit, and I no longer care. In fact, I almost laugh when nobody does what I say, which is always, and nobody cares what I think, which is most of the time. And, you know, I hug that to myself, and I remind myself, you know, you are right where you're supposed to be. You know, you want to be in this spot. I'll wrap up. And the only thing that I can say that I work on really hard is one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. It's the path to freedom. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nance. Next up is Janice PM, followed by Darian K.
And good morning again, Russ and everyone here. Happy holidays to everyone. My name is Janice PM. I live here in Massachusetts, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Oh, resentment. Yeah. If you want to live, well, sure, I want to live. Well, what do I need to live? I need sunlight, right? Otherwise, I'm going to live in the dark. Now, the real purpose of this, I'm going to go all over this place here, is what's the purpose? I need the sunlight of the spirit to live, because with self and resentment and anger starts, and then you get resentful. I mean, that's I give the comfort of self pity in myself. I had broken my arm, for an example, and you know, it was my right arm, and I couldn't eat, and I would talk to my cousin, who I've had a resentment for a year, but it's past now. And I would say, you know, I don't know how I'm going to eat. So in the background was her husband saying, well, use your left hand. Well, that's not what you should have said. See, then I start getting angry at that person. I start resenting. And where does that come from? Well, it took me a long time to see what my part was. You know, this fourth step isn't about finding out who I am. It's about finding out who I am not. And in order to get rid of it, you know, if not for me to grow, I need sun. A flower needs sun. It needs air. It needs water. And that's why my self-knowledge availed me nothing. But I learned through the unveiling of who I, you know, who I am not, that my anger, pardon me, and my resentment wears a lot of masks. Oh, I'm not angry. Oh, I'm not resentful. I didn't even know. I didn't even know what my defects were. But the biggest one for me is expectation of you, of that my cousin's husband who said that. He shouldn't say that. I expected him to have compassion for me. After all, here I am in the hospital. Poor me. Poor me. So self-pity, you know, is false comfort. And I love to be comforted, so I'm going to keep it. I mean, look, imagine what he said about me. He didn't even care that blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, that's who I am not, see. And you're intolerant. I'm intolerant. I expect too much. And we know that is, when I expect too much from my husband, from my son, I can't accept that. And it builds and it builds and it builds until I am always the grouch. What's the grouch? Habitually irritable, habitually grumbling, complaining. Oh my God. Gossiping.
Time.
That's and it's, I'm all done. Okay, so I have to be very, very careful, and that. But a sponsor will help me, and I unveiled all the masks that I wore as a resentment and anger, and with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jen. Next up is Darren Kay. But before Darren Kay jumps on, let me let you know where we're at. We're on How It Works. We're on page 66, second paragraph. If we were to live, ending with, for alcoholics, these things are poison. All right, Darren, you're up. Star one, Darren.
Oh, there you go. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. It was the only time I didn't say that, and I was muted. All right. So go figure. I'm just grateful to be on the line, as always. Darian K. from Western Massachusetts, recovered for today. And, boy, everybody said everything so amazingly. I just am taking away so much from this meeting. It just seems like, I open my eyes, there's reasons to be angry in this world, you know, because things aren't going my way. Or when I come home, I'm always tired from after work. It doesn't matter whether the kids were, you know, because I work in a school, the kids were behaving or the kids weren't behaving, or I had pre-K or I had middle school, because I see them all. It's like I find ways to be, I'm tired, so therefore I get angry. And, you know, the person I live with always says, oh, you're so grouchy. And I said, no, I'm not grouchy. I'm just tired. But, you know, like Janice put it, that masks itself in other ways. And I want to be justified. I want to feel this way. And I want people to acknowledge it and say, oh, you know, poor you. So, you know, just go lay down, relax. I'll make dinner, you know, whatever. And that doesn't happen. And so, and then the anger festers even more. And it's just, you know, it's just life on life's terms. And, you know, I was also thinking too that I'm a perfectionist, and unfortunately I probably want perfection from others too. So if they're not greeting me perfectly, or they're not behaving perfectly, or they're not, that life is just not going perfectly, there's room for, you know, that little annoyance that, like, you know, we know what those are in Massachusetts. They come, they're tiny, and then if you roll them up, they get bigger and bigger. And so that's what it feels like. And I cannot afford that. And I know deep down in my heart, and I believe what they say, is that this will bring me to the food. That, you know, we get this program, we put the food down and get the program, but then when relapse comes, it's usually the other way around. It's like, you know, we lose that spiritual connection, that serenity, that peace of mind that, you know, keeps us check. And so I just heed that warning every day and do better when I know better, and just know I'm perfect. I'm not perfect, rather imperfect, and I'm, you know, a human being, but you know, and I will feel these feelings. Well, if we don't eat over them, we're feeling them, but we have ways to deal with them, right? We talk to others in this program, we do 10 steps, and we write, you know, we have all these tools, these wonderful tools, as well as the steps to help us get through our day, and then put our head on the pillow and say, thank you God, I didn't eat today, and thank you God, I didn't stay angry. And so I'm so grateful. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Darian. Appreciate it. Next up is Harlan G.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you very much, Russ. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. The book promised me that I would get down to causes and conditions. And now we're talking about resentment. We're talking about anger. When I first came in here at age 24 in 1979, I thought to myself, I'm not angry. Of course, I was 600, you know, I wasn't 700 pounds yet, but I was massively obese, sitting there looking at my shoes, resenting everybody in the room because I really didn't want to be there. They were all 30 years older than I was, and I was hundreds of pounds fatter than them. And I had justifications for every resentment I had ever had in my life. You guys were jerks. I was as pure as the driven snow, and you guys were just jerk-offs. Well, I was told again, causes and conditions. And what I found out, to answer the question, what does resentment have to do with my eating? Well, just everything. Because when I'm in resentment or I'm in fear, I don't feel very good. And unfortunately, resentment for me does not travel by itself. When I have a resentment against somebody, I'm eventually, and it's not going to take very long, I'm going to have a resentment against somebody else because they didn't stop that person. They didn't protect me. And then I'm going to be in the sickest position of all. I'm going to be in self-pity and self-resentment. And when I'm in that kind of space, I don't feel very good, and I'm blocked off from God. Organically, automatically, instantly, and with the impact of a train hitting me at 9 million miles an hour, I am going to think this thought: F it, I'm going to go eat pizza. F it, I'm going to eat Oreo cookies. It happens so fast. It happens so unconsciously. It happens so unbelievably strong, I don't even connect the two. And so I eat when I'm not mad. I eat when I'm mad. I eat when I'm scared. I eat when I'm not scared. But this buildup of human emotion, of the resentment and the fear and the self-pity, is something that I cannot handle by myself. And unless I get down to these causes and conditions, and unless I inventory this situation and then go with the rest of the steps to free myself of this anger, I am going to continue to eat myself to death because I am biologically predisposed to eat myself to death. I don't have to wonder what death is like. I have been dead in the food. I have been 700 pounds, unable to get in and out of a car, unable to sit, unable to stand, unable to walk, unable to function as a human being. If that ain't death, I don't know what is. And so for me, these things are poison because they will kill me, certainly, just unbelievably slowly. They will kill. The grouch and the brainstorm. The grouch is always mad. The brainstorm is somebody that isn't mad all the time, but when they're mad, look out. And that's what we've changed the meaning of that word, you know, in modern times. So, Russ, thank you for your service. Thank you very much for your service. Sorry for your loss. I can't wait to see you in a couple weeks in L.A. And I hope everybody has a great day. Thanks for letting me share. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Harf. Feel the same, brother. All right, next up is Leah S. Bye-bye, Bonnie B.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful, beautiful meeting. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered in Brooklyn, New York. And this paragraph is a warning. It is a red lamp for me. What does it mean if I were to be alive? What does it mean for me to really, really, actually live and do and be and not look back? And, you know, nothing is going to stop me from being human. And being human, I'm going to have feelings. I'm going to have anything and everything. So this is a study. What is this big book telling me? I have questionable luxury, questionable kind of things that make me right. And I'm gonna reciprocate. And I'm going to whatever. But it still tells me that I really have to be free of that anger. And truthfully, I'm not angry. I just want to tell you. I just want to explain to you. But that's not for me. It's a red lamp for me. I got to start understanding myself that subconsciously I am reaching for those truffles. Subconsciously, I want that donut. Subconscious, and before you know it, it's already in my mouth, not even in my hand. And this is no good for me. It's not good for my body. This is not making me alive. It's not making me actually be who I really want to be. And we're never going to be who we really want to be, but there's wisdom in here. There's tremendous direction and wisdom about understanding. It's not going to get me anywhere. And how can I get that? How can I get that even keel? How can I be on that healthy boundary, where I can be who I am and yet not be too extreme of the negativity and too extreme of the positivity? And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Leah. Next up is Bonnie B, followed by Marjo.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Russ, for your service. The shares have been over the top, as always. Bonnie B, gratefully recovered for today, living in the state of Florida and blessed beyond measure. What an amazing paragraph. I mean, every single one seems to jump off the page for me. This is what my thought was this morning. It uses the word if. That's a conditional word for me. If we're going to live, we have to be free from anger. Well, if I bump up to the last sentence of the paragraph prior, the only other option is to die. So I'm told on the front end, if I'm going to live, I have to be free from anger. I'm free to choose on a daily basis, but I'm never free from my consequences of those choices. Prior to coming into program, I didn't realize that I could be free from those thoughts. They would grab me, and that resentment for me was that rewind in my head. And when it got a hold of me, game over. Because you did me wrong. And realistically, maybe, according to the world standards, maybe, sometimes. But in the next paragraph, it talks about fancied or real. Okay, you were always going to be doing me wrong in my head because I had a Hallmark movie. But this is my reality for today. I can't have more than one thought in my head at a time. I was perplexed when I first came in the program because they talked about doing a gratitude list on a daily basis. I now understand it. The opposite of self-pity, resentment, gotta have my Hallmark movie, my fairy tale, is living a life of gratitude, accepting life exactly as life presents itself, and trusting God that whatever's going to happen, there's going to be something good at some point for someone. When I separate myself from God by allowing my feelings to govern me, and this is what happened for many years of my life, there is no freedom for me. I now view life as a rich opportunity instead of becoming ungrateful for a situation. I pivot, I lean in, I look up, and I thank God for that situation. And I ask him to show me what he'd have me to be in the middle of it. And then it loses its power. And again, the losing of the power is when I immediately pivot, lean in, look up, do a 10-step on it, give it to someone else, call it out for what it really is. And the basis is I'm selfish and I'm self-seeking and I want what I want and I want it now. And you were born to give that to me. And then immediately find someone else that I can bless. That thought is removed. It's divine. It's unbelievable. And we are very blessed. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Bonnie. Next up is Marjo, followed by Nick F.
Good morning, Russ. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Thank you much. Hi, everybody. Marge O. from Walpole, Massachusetts. Gratefully recovered a day at a time. And if this paragraph doesn't remind me that it is a day at a time, nothing will. because when I first came in, I had no idea what that paragraph meant. I really didn't. I had to sit through it, and I had to understand, because when I got angry, I would feel powerful. I have a lot of abuse in my background, and I always felt powerless over everything, but I wanted everything to go smoothly. And I was one of those, always a smile on my face, but just bubbling. You know, the thunder was off in the distance, and when it arrived, I was full of lightning, and I was angry, and then I would be ashamed. And then I would just be in fear. Oh, they'll never speak to me again. This will never be good again. And thank you, God, and for sponsorship and for service and for people that come on this line every day and share what they were like and what they've become. And I know at the bottom of all that for me is gratitude, just to be grateful that we do have steps 10, 11, and 12. And I'm not always, I don't do it perfectly. I didn't look to do things perfectly. I grew up with that hurry up and get it done. So I often mess up, to be honest with you. And I immediately want, the first reaction is get mad. That's your only protection. And it's not true. I've learned here. I've been here many 24 hours in Overeaters Anonymous, and I have learned. Just stop. Pause. Just stop. You don't have to be right. There's that expression, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? I want to be happy. I want to be content. I don't have to do a tap dance every day, on life. Just let me be content and know that I am blessed and I am fortunate. And that life is good. It hands us some lemons. It's okay. And it's okay if I can't make lemonade out of it every day. Just have to tell on myself and report in. So I wish everybody a good day. And thank you, Russ, for your service and all of Team Friday. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Marge. All right. Next up will be Nick F., and then we're going to take another list.
This is Nick F. in Tennessee. Can I be heard?
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was pressing on mute, and then I wasn't sure if you had called my name or not. Good morning, family. I'm grateful to be here. I don't know why, but when I just heard about, we're going to get to see each other in just a few short weeks here, I'm going to be honest, I was standing up, and I'm in my mirror, and I'm trying not to, well, anyway. And it brought tears to my eyes. I can't believe I'm going to get to meet some of y'all. Just the most amazing thing ever. What this is saying about the grouch and the brainstorm, for me, you know, I got a lot of shit to be angry about. Because if I had it my way, I would be eating everything. I'd eat what I wanted to, when I wanted to, how I wanted to eat it, you know. And I can get angry. I'm allowed to get angry. But guess what? I have surrendered to the idea that I'm not allowed to stay mad. Actually, I could, and it will kill me. If I want to die, I can stay angry. So check this out, like real honest. I'm looking at my planner, and I'm looking at my schedule, and I'm working with a therapist now, a family therapist now, and she's helping me look and see my plate is so full. We gotta get some of this stuff off my plate. Because I have to have time to do this recovery, you know. I can either go back and be a 6 or 7 or 8X, because where I left off was a 5X and couldn't breathe and couldn't move and couldn't walk and couldn't sing and couldn't think because I was too busy digesting. My life was about digesting. And now I think the most important thing I can do with my schedule is clear out about 2 hours to where I could just sit silent, just sit quietly. And I was thinking about writing a poem talking about friends and ink pens. Some of my best friends are ink pens right now. And I'm really getting to see how one of my training partners, you know, I can have these thoughts and ideas in my mind so my actions don't harm anybody. And then I can write them down and I can share them with another person and get feedback or not. I tend to like feedback. And it really helps shed the sunlight of the spirit into who I am and who I am becoming. I got a lot of eating years behind me. I was using more than I had 3.5 years of living. I was 30-something, you know, when I got abstinent. And I don't know how to do this, but I have learned some good ideas, some good tips, and I've worked these steps, and I'm getting to learn every day, every time somebody shares something on this line. Like, and so I get to be mad, I get to get mad, and then I get to get that shit away, and I get to get cleared out. Y'all, I don't want to lose everything that I've had, I have. God has been good to me. I didn't know. I'll close with this. I didn't know life could be this good. And I'm just looking forward to getting to meet some of y'all real soon that I've just passed. Thank you for your service, Russ.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. All right. We're going to open up the line for sharing again. And if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow us to share. I think we could do maybe five. Five would be good right now.
Ken W. H.
Felicia D. in Rhode Island.
I got Ken W. H. Someone for Rhode Island.
Felicia D.
Alexis F. from New Jersey.
Okay, hold on. Alexis F. And then who is from Rhode Island again? Please, one more time.
Felicia D.
There we go, Felicia.
Jackie M.
All right, let's just leave it at that. I think that's pretty good. If we have time, we'll take everybody else. Ken W. H., Felicia D., PP, Alexis F., and Jackie M. All right, Ken, you're up, brother.
Thank you, Russ. Thanks for your service. Blessed day to you. I just love the way Bill writes sometimes, and that dubious luxury seems like an oxymoron to me. I mean, dubious is doubtful or of questionable character, and I wouldn't call that a luxury. And I don't think Bill is either. And normal is an undefinable quantity, really. We can put statistics to it, but there's no way in the world to somebody saying what normal means to me. What I'm aware of is we're talking about anger and resentment in the same paragraphs here. Excuse me, they are different. Anger is just a natural response to things that just are going a different direction than they were 2 minutes ago. Things are just out of whack for me, and that's not a good place for me to be, and I need to do something about it. And that's why we have the rest of the steps and the process of talking it out with somebody. I'm convinced of that, and I need to do that on a regular basis. The issue of resentment for me is taking it to bed. And another resource that I use regularly says to me, be angry, but don't let the sun go down on it. In other words, you need to get rid of it, Ken, because the first thing in the morning when you wake up, what do you want to be there on your lips, Ken? I'd like it for you to be me, God says to me, my higher power says to me, but if you go to bed with anger, that'll be the first thing on your mind when you wake up. That person, place, thing is going to be the first thing you say, and it isn't going to be God. It may be God in a profanity, but it isn't going to be God. I need to not do that. I need to not take this stuff to bed with me, because I don't want to wake up feeling angry. I want to wake up ready for a day full of joy that I've missed over so many years of addiction and so much loss of the good that God brings to my life today, and I'm so grateful for that. I don't want to wake up angry ever again. So thanks for letting me share. Y'all be blessed. Take care. Pass.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate you, bro. Next up is Felicia D, followed by PP.
Hi, Felicia D. from Rhode Island. Thank you for everyone for your service. And I don't know who gave the definition of brainstorm, but I appreciate that too, because the grouch is someone that I can be even in recovery if I'm not really looking at my stuff. And as other people were saying, thinking like, oh, it's not that big a deal, I'm fine. It's not that big a deal, I'm fine. And then it builds up. But the brainstorm, that one, I can be that way with my 10-year-old where I'm like, oh, no, I'm in recovery. I'm going to have a different response. And then she's yelling. And then I'm like, I'm going to have a different response. And then she's nasty and spewing. And I'm like, I'm going to have a different response. And then all of a sudden, I just, like, flip a switch. And then I'm like, ah. And I did not realize that was brainstorm. I thought I was, or I was calling it binge anger. But it is also not something that's helpful. And as other people have said, like when I have resentment and then I react to it and I'm in self-pity or I lash out in retaliation, then I'm ashamed and I'm fearful and it's an awful place to be living and certainly doesn't feel like any kind of recovery. So this has been a really helpful meeting for me. And I'm just so grateful that I can start my day with vision every day and have the chance to have recovered information permeate my brain and consider it in my brain instead of the often the disease trying to get in. So I get some ease. I know that God is the source of ease and comfort, but I get some temporary relief with some good information at times when I come to meetings. So I'm grateful for that in addition to my higher power. Thank you. Pass.
All right, thanks, Felicia D. from Rhode Island. Next up is Pete B., followed by Alexis F.
Yeah, thanks, Russ. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. I'm glad, you know, Rod is keeping a secret from yesterday. Just keep a secret, so I'm feeling good about this share today. And, you know, what I have to who am I focused on when I'm angry? Where's the focus? I'm certainly not angry because you're not getting your needs met, right? I'm certainly not angry because it's not going the way you want it to go, right? I have to be free of anger because according to what it says on page 62, is that above everything else, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. So I have to be free of anger because I have to be free of focusing on myself. Right, that's the root of my troubles, selfishness and self-centeredness. Now, how do we get rid of selfishness and self-centeredness? Well, some people have a process that they use. It involves, you know, it involves other people, and they have to, you know, reach out to other people. But according to our literature and the instructions, it says that God makes that possible. It says that there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid, capital H, his aid. Right? I find that my problem is I want to treat my problem with the problem. Right? When I try on my pants and they're too tight, I want to eat a pint of ice cream to make me feel better. And the pint of ice cream made the pants not fit. Right, so selfishness, I don't want to use focusing on myself as a solution to my selfishness. I have to get out of self. And the only way out of self, the only way to get out of this area is to ask God to remove it. That's what our 10th step asks us to do. I love how somebody brought up that if is a condition, right? If is a condition. And there's only one condition that requires me to reach out to someone else when I'm doing my spot check inventory. And that's if we've harmed someone, right? We've got to stop instructing people to use the problem as the solution. The focus on self is the issue. That's why I must be free of anger, because when I'm focusing on me, my problems get worse. When I'm focusing on you, they evaporate. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. So we got about a minute. So if Alexis could do a minute, if not, we could end and you could share on the next one.
This is Alexis from New Jersey, Alexis F. Thank you, Russ, for your service. I wanted to start out with a quote that might help everybody. We are not responsible for the initial flare of temper, only for prolonging it. And I think everybody here has experienced anger coming up, but it's what you do with it that is important. You know, it's not lingering in it. And that's what I've done practically all my life is to react to people in a way that is probably abnormal. And, we don't have the luxury of being angry or even justifiable anger. And I'm doing a fourth step right now. And for the first time, I'm not conscious of who I'm giving it to because it's someone that I trust. And the only thing I'm conscious of is getting it out of myself. Thank you.
Sorry about that. My New Year's resolution is I'm going to have these numbers down by for the next time I moderate. I'm very sorry, but thank you to everybody shared. Thank you, Alexis, for sharing. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And today's share ID, Friday, December 20th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22013. 22013. All right, we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. And I believe Nick Aft is going to read this for us. We're going to read our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we're going to pray the Serenity Prayer.
Nick Aft, Tennessee, Chicago Post Poll Reading. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet happy. And you will surely meet some of us as you trust the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.